you know, we didn't really mean to, but it was kind of like the Nick and Cassie show this morning, and I loved it. But little did you know, there was a yes in Ryan Matthews here on the front row at his job, reaching out to people at his work when Nick and his wife were kind of thinking about where their life is going, and he reached out to them, and God began to move in powerful ways in their life and eventually brought them here. So you never know how your yes is going to impact the church, your business, your family, and your world. So this is what I want you to say. My yes matters. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, your yes matters. I just want to also give a shout out to a group of men who started a group, and they love like helping the church in our grounds and doing things. It's Ray, Ken, Bruce, and Chris. Can you guys stand up for a second? Can we see these guys? No, not, yeah, where is it? Ray, Chris, Bruce. Come on, Ken, whenever we have a need here and we need somebody to help us kind of fix stuff and put things together, if you haven't noticed, the middle trailer here, the bottom section was looking pretty ragged, and one phone call to these gentlemen, they're here on a Saturday morning. So if you like tinkering and you want to join their group and want to help, not tinkling, but tinkering, for those of you who are wondering, check them out in the lobby. They would love to help you get connected. And then also we had our first, and I don't know if it's an annual, but our car show, motorcycle show, engine show. People showed up with four-wheelers and big trucks. We actually started riding around in the parking lot. No one did donuts, but we wanted to. It was so much fun. Did we have any? Yeah, see, look at that. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, that's Nate right there. I mean, like, who has a car that big? Literally, there's a picture there. I'm not even sure if it is, but Matt Legler, he's one of our guys in our church. He literally, that's my dirt bikes right there. This guy right here, he spent 12 years building that with his dad. And they just finished it this month, and he got to bring it to the car show. I was so pumped. Do we have that picture of Matt Legler in front of the tire? That was my favorite one. Okay, no, we don't, obviously, because we're on that picture. So, but Matt Legler stood in front of Nate's tire, and it's like literally like the same size. It was perfect. It was awesome. I love it. Well, I love our church, and I love being together. And last week was so great with Pastor Jenny. And if you didn't have a chance to hear it, go online and check it out. Wonderful. So honored. She loves us and was so encouraged about what God is doing in this place. But we're going to start a new series. It's just going to be a mini one called Rest. And we're going to be talking about overcoming anxiety, fear, and depression. Something that I think most of us have dealt with, and I'm going to be sharing some of my own personal journey with that myself. And my hope is that we together as a church will experience tremendous rest. I believe that Christians, believers who call on the name of the Lord should experience rest. And unfortunately, for many of us, we're finding ourselves in places where we're not experiencing rest. But I'm first of all just want to let you know, you don't have to feel condemnation. But you just need to know that there's a God that wants to lead you into a place of rest this morning. So I want to pray for us, and then we're gonna dive right into this subject. Father, we just thank you that you are amazing, and what you've already done in our worship time as we experienced your presence. And we thank you that in your presence there is fullness of joy. And we celebrate you. And so, Lord, we pray for this time together as we remain together, that God, you would move in extraordinary ways. Say things that I can't and I forget to say. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you are now already speaking to everyone's heart so that we can be changed in your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I don't know about you guys, but whenever I get into a different car, and maybe when you drive your car, you get kind of used to the way it drives. maybe the way it breaks or how the steering wheel is just slightly tilted to the right. And you kind of get used to it. You get used to how your accelerator is, and then you go rent a car. Or you get into somebody else's car, and all of a sudden you go to put your foot on the brake, and literally everyone almost goes through the windshield. Or you actually get into a car that has some horsepower and yours doesn't, and you're not used to it. So you typically, when you're at the red light, you stomp on the accelerator because you're in a Prius and it barely gets there. So you stomp on it, and next thing you know, you're peeling out the tires. And if you're like my wife, she like hits you. Like, babe, it wasn't my fault. It's the 5.7 liter engine inside my truck. I don't know what to tell you, babe. It's interesting how we can get used to things. And I particularly think about alignment. Alignment in our car, our steering wheel, right? Like one of the things that drives me nuts when I get in a car is when your steering wheel, I like it perfectly symmetrical. Yes, thank you. He's like lifting his hand. He's like, yeah. Talk about anxiety. When you're in a car and the steering wheel is at like at a 45 and it's going straight, just so you know, that's not normal. And that usually means you need an alignment. It means that they need to like adjust things. I'm so mechanical, I could totally tell you everything, but I'm just not going to bore you with the details this morning. But I know that it's something that they do when I drop my car off. And then I get it back and the steering wheel is actually aligned with, so you can usually, and I don't recommend this, but you can take your hands off the steering wheel and the car is going straight or straighter than it used to. Some of you like let go of the steering wheel and your car like veers to the right. So the whole time you're like this, you know, you're like holding on for dear life going down the freeway. Yeah, that's not good. And listen, we can help you if that's the way your car is, okay? As Nick was talking about earlier. This morning, I want to spend some time in Psalm 23, one of the most quoted pieces of scripture in history. And David begins a journey with us, the reader, that I believe that the Holy Spirit wants to unpack this idea of rest. David starts out kind of with this idea of declaration. And I think sometimes we need to understand when it comes to combating the idea of anxiety, and the phrase anxiety means intense, excessive, and persistent worry and fear about everyday situations. When you experience that kind of emotion and anxiety, it's very difficult to kind of get out of it. And what I love about Psalm 23 is David actually starts with a declaration. And I feel like it's like sometimes you got to get out of your car and get into another car to actually see what it really is like to drive something that goes straight. Because yours is just cocked just enough that it veers to the right. But then after a while, it kind of feels normal. Or you may not even realize it, but when you step on the brakes, you need a brake job. You're putting your feet all the way to the ground, and you're thinking that's normal. I'm just here to tell you it's not. If you actually have to pump your brakes while you stop, we need to help you, okay? And then what's crazy is you finally get in a rental car, and you put your foot on the brake, and then everybody goes through the windshield. David starts off in Psalm 23 shifting his perspective by a declaration. It's like getting into a new car, realizing that your car needs alignment. Everyone say alignment. I want to read a verse and then we're going to jump into Psalm 23. But Romans 8:6 says this: so letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to? Yeah. Letting the sinful nature control your mind leads to? Yeah. And we're not just talking about actually in the grave death. But this idea of anxiety and fear keeps us in a place of unfruitfulness. We become paralyzed to take steps forward and even incapacitated to make decisions because we're always anticipating the worst. We're thinking about what could be. And it freezes us to the point where we don't even want to take a step outside of our door. So I love the second part of this. It says, letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. Let me start with Psalm 23, and we're just going to mess around with Psalm 23, verse 1 this morning. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. I'm just going to stop there. David starts with this idea of alignment with the very first part of verse 1. So just put verse 1 back up there. He says, the Lord. I know so many times we just kind of brush past that as the name of God. But the word there in the Hebrew is Jehovah, which means the one who exists. So David, in his moment of fear and anxiety or whatever he's experiencing, that he pens this declaration of God is the one who exists, and I am going to come underneath him. So as a declaration, there has to come an alignment. David in this moment declares the Lord. Not just some God, not just some place, not just someone out there, but the one who exists, who I have to align myself with. And in that alignment, there needs to be an adjustment. And what I love next is he declares, the Lord is my shepherd. He's the one who's actively looking for places for me to thrive. Now, the reason why this declaration is important, because I believe it's like getting into the rental car and seeing what it's like when your car goes straight. That sometimes you have to put the plumb line. Sometimes you have to have the level. Sometimes you need something to help you realize that you're off course. So this declaration of the Lord, the one who exists, the great I am, the God who has been faithful throughout all the ages. It's just like what Jesus said when he was with his disciples. Who do you say that I am? Why? Because that declaration shapes our life and brings us into alignment. It's not an ignorance of what I feel and am experiencing, but sometimes we have to get in a different car and go, this is who my God is. He is my Lord. And right now I've got to bring my emotions into the alignment of who he is. And then who is he? He's the shepherd. I love this section. He's the one who's actively looking for places for me to thrive. So, a good indication that your air conditioning is not working is when you set the temperature to 65 and the house stays at 80. So what's David doing here? He's making a declaration, but it's also an indication of where he's at. If I am feeling something outside of God moving and bringing me into a place of thriving, then something needs to change. I'll give you an example. The Israelites, when they were in Egypt, God wanted to pull them out of Egypt and bring them into a promised land, a place that he called milk and honey, a place of rest and peace that they were going to thrive in. And in the process of pulling them out of Egypt, they come to the Mount Sinai where God's presence is visible. God wants to be with them. He wants to align them to who he is. So right there in that moment, he begins to give all of his plans for them to thrive and flourish in the land. And in that very moment, the Israelites, they begin to look around and think about the nations that are surrounding them. And they begin to want to be like those nations. So what do? They go, we need to be like that nation, so we need to have what they have. I know, let's take the gold that God intended for us to have and flourish in our place of rest, and let's give it to a false god and build an idol. So David says, the Lord is my shepherd, I I shall not want, or I have everything that I need. So if I'm anxious about my life and circumstances, and yet God's word says that I have all that I need, then there needs to be an alignment. Now, I know this morning you were hoping that I was going to quote Philippians, where it says, if you're anxious about anything, just pray about it. But I don't know about you, but I've had believers tell me that when I'm anxious, and I want to just kind of say, read between the lines. I'm sorry. Like, sometimes it feels like, man, I need more than prayer, because I've tried prayer, and it feels like, man, I'm praying, and God, where are you? And what I love about Psalm 23 is David gets down to the brass tacks, and sometimes we just need people to tell us what's really going on. You know what's interesting about the Israelites is in this moment, God wanted to reveal himself to them. And all they had to do was follow the cloud by day and the fire by night. Do you know how refreshing that is? They didn't have to figure out. Every morning they woke up and there was bread on the ground. They didn't have to worry about tomorrow, what they had today. And they didn't have to figure out what's next. Where are we going to go? We don't even have to have the blue dot on the GPS to figure out what's going on. They just stayed where they were until all of a sudden the pillar of cloud or fire began to move. And they're like, well, looks like we're moving. Do you know how refreshing that is? I mean, talk about like no anxiety. Like you're just waking up another morning and you just pull back your curtain and go, oh, clouds still here. We're going to have fun today. Let's just go down to the lake and just chill for a bit. Man, I'm really feeling hungry. Hey, he's already got the manna on the ground. David makes this declaration that this is the heart of God, that he wants to provide for you what you have need of in the day. So why is it that I feel like I don't have what I need during the day? Well, I really want to mess everybody up today. And here's the reason why, because he's been messing me up. I'm going to share a story with you about the first time I ever had a panic attack. I had never had one, and as a matter of fact, most people, when I heard about them having a panic attack, I'm like, dude, you need some serious help. And it came on the heels of meeting Chad Patterson. He's not the reason why I had the panic attack, just so we know, okay? But he and I developed this relationship, and God's just doing something incredible in us. He was the pastor of Church of the Hills that owned this property that had been here for 30 years, and God put us together, and we just start experiencing this journey. You know, we had been a church for about 3 years, and we just start connecting, and God brought us together, and we start talking about what it would be like if we came together, what God would do in our midst. We felt like, man, this was going to be a beautiful moment, and we're just talking about it. And he's like, yeah, but I got to share it with my board. I'm not the guy that makes all those decisions. And I'm like, okay. And so he shares it with his board and council, and they're not totally pumped that this is what he's feeling, which is understandable. Who's this guy that wears skinny jeans and a leather jacket on a Sunday morning? Like, we don't even know him, and you're thinking about that you want to merge with Expression Church. Like, how does that work? And so I remember it was around Christmas time. This was 3 years ago, Christmas. And we have our Christmas Eve service. And we're kind of like, why compete with, you know, all the great churches out there that are having the most amazing Christmas Eve services on the planet? So let's just do a Christmas Eve service. So you can, like, do church 25 times before you open presents. And so I thought, man, wouldn't it be cool? Like, we were looking for a place. We were in a school at the time, and they told us that we couldn't rent the facility. So I asked Chad, I said, hey, do you think we could use your building? And he's like, yeah. And so we were all excited. Melissa had, like, dancers, and it was going to be the greatest service of all time. And I was up backstage, up top, and I remember hearing someone tell me, and I don't remember who it was, like, hey, the whole council and the whole board of that church is here. I had never had one of these before. I couldn't even describe to you what it would feel like. But all of a sudden in that moment, I couldn't breathe. I literally started suffocating, and I'm like, I just had a t-shirt on and I had to like take it off. And I'm taking deep breaths and I'm like, my whole world starts caving in on me. And I'm, if you've never had it, man, it's terrible. And I sat up there and I was all by myself, which is even worse. Like, someone bring me some extra oxygen. Like, there's got to be a pill that's going to help me get out of this. And I remember texting some people, and I'm like, I don't know what's happening right now, but I'm panicking. I'm panicking because some people are here who are going to judge me whether they like me or not, and they're going to make decisions based on how awesome I am. Do you know how wild that thought is? Okay, so I want to connect everything in this message now. The Israelites building an idol because why? They wanted to be like other nations. When you find yourself outside of that resting place, it's not always the devil attacking you. It actually could be because we've built idols to something outside of God's intended purpose for our life. Okay. You're like, well, you just meddled in my whole Kool-Aid. That's all right. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. I just want to read this. Do not love the world nor the things it offers you. And when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you, that idea of peace presiding. It's not that the Father doesn't love you. It's that it's not creating that peace, that rest. For the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, and pride in our achievements and possessions. These are not from the Father, but are from the world. And this world is fading away along with everything that people crave. But anyone who does what pleases God will live forever. So he lists three things there. Craving of the pleasure, the idea of this sexy stuff that we crave. Number two, craving for everything we see, which is money. And number three, the pride in achievements and possessions, power. He boils it down to three things: money, sex, and power. So there's this idea of an idol that the Israelites had established, that they were giving what God had given them as their inheritance to this idol. And talk about anxiety, like you are serving something now that cannot speak and is insatiable. It's an idol that you don't know if you ever please it. So you're constantly running around like a gerbil on a hamster wheel. Talk about anxiety. I'm feeling it right now. So in that moment, there I was. But here's the thing. It wasn't that the devil was attacking me. It's that I had in my life set up an idol of pleasing people. And the moment that thing kind of came to a head where I couldn't control the environment of whether these people were going to like me or not, I couldn't meet them hand to hand and like, I love you, give me a hug. And they're like, man, you're the greatest dude ever. I'm like, yeah, that's right. Because since I was a child, based on some circumstances, I had an idol in my life that I felt like it was my responsibility to make people like me. And the moment when that came to a head, the panic attack was at its greatest. Because here was a group of people that I thought was going to reject me and then scrap everything that Chad and I felt like the Holy Spirit was doing. It was out of my hands. Which, by the way, is typically what we're anxious about. It's the stuff that we can't control. Why? Because we like to control it. It's the stuff that we want versus the stuff that God has for us. That's why we have to align our life with His plan and what He wants. So you begin to identify these idols like success. Who told you that that's what success was? The Israelites, they start looking around all the nations and they're like, dude, we do not want to follow some cloud and fire. That's just weird. Such a weirdo. The other nations who are strong and they look almighty and they polished up all their armor, they serve these golden calves, these idols. We need one of them. And in that moment, God's presence shifted. The peace that he designed them for was beginning to erode because they began to worship an idol versus the Lord, who is my shepherd, I shall not want. He is either God or he's not. He's either in charge or he's not. He's either taking care of you or he has no strength. So sometimes we need that alignment. Sometimes in those moments when the stuff kind of raises to the surface, it's actually okay that it happens because it gives us an indication that we can check things out. What's really going on inside of me? I didn't realize, honest to the Lord, I didn't realize I had an idol of wanting people to like me. But I sure tell you what, I figured it out pretty quickly. And so I called some people together and they came up and they prayed for me because I needed it. Because I was about to change my whole presentation and who I was and what God called me to do to make sure that the people on the front row were smiling at me. You laugh, but that's real. I didn't want to come out. I just wanted Melissa to just do her thing the whole time. Because if they reject her, it's okay. But if they reject me, it's everything. Romans 8:6, again. So letting the sinful nature control your mind leads to death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to a life of peace. I conclude with this. I don't even know where I am. Here we go. Matthew chapter 6, verse 22. Your eye is a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is good, your whole body is filled with light. But when your eye is bad, your whole body is filled with darkness. And if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep that darkness is. Go to the next section there. Keep going. Is that it? Oh, that's awesome. Let me continue reading it for you. No one ever serves two masters. For you hate the one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and be enslaved to money. Or you can just put idol. That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. Dumb birds. If you've ever had one poop on your car right after you wash it, they're dumb. And according to this verse, God takes care of them. Aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? I'm going all the way to verse 33 if you want to throw it in there. Can all of your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. That becomes an idol. I want to look like them. I want to talk like them because I want their success. Who told you that their success was your success? Who told you your body had to look like that?
Who told you that your marriage had to look like that? Who told you? If he's the Lord, I align my life to him, and he is the shepherd who is actively pursuing places for me to thrive. I have everything I need. So if I feel like I don't, then maybe I got myself in debt because I was wanting what they had. And so now I can't sleep at night because I'm buried. And then I'm praying, God, please, your word says, if you're anxious for nothing, just pray it off. And he's like, I need you to come back to me and align your life to me because you've allowed idols to move you, align you in the wrong direction. I'm not mad at you. I experienced this. I'm smiling. I know you're being convicted just like I was. If I'm having wants, I'm not saying that wants are bad, but this insatiable need that's never satisfied is because there's an idol in my life. And the enemy then wants me to be anxious about stuff that I can't control. He's either the Lord or he's not. So up in the room, I had to pray a prayer. Lord, I let go of the need to please people. I shake that stuff off. And that's why I love David. He didn't like go through this like this thing or it was like, you know, I don't know. He just didn't do it. He just started declaring. Sometimes when you're in that moment, you need to declare, which is an alignment. Here's the straight line. He's the Lord, and he's my shepherd. And I have what I need today. So, Lord, I'm going to step out of this room. Yeah, I'm going to wear my power jacket. But I thank you that this jacket doesn't make me who I am. You make me who I am. And my job is just to flip the switch, just to tell people that you love them. And if they choose not to like me, it's not me that they're not liking, it's you in me. And that's all right. Because I can't please everybody, and actually I'm tired of trying to please everybody. And you know what's funny? When you stop trying to do that, people like actually like you. It's like counterintuitive. You're like out here going, check me out, please, please, please. And they're like, oh, gosh, ow. I mean, I was that kid. Like, I'd show up to school and tell everybody all the stuff that I had. Like, man, I got this big, oh, you think you got big speakers? I got bigger speakers. And it had the reverse effect. Kids are like, oh, gosh, stay away from that guy. He's that guy. And what do? You keep trying harder. Why? Because you have an idol. You're craving something that actually can never be filled. And unless you realign yourself with realizing that the Father has what you need. So maybe if you're in a space where you're constantly feeling upheaval, it's because you're trying to grab something that you were never intended to grab. I just really want to do really well in school. Who said? Do your best. Don't be lazy, but don't let it dominate you. If the cell phone and texts are dominating your life on what people think, then shut it off and get a flip phone. If you can't handle what everybody's saying, then get off social media. If you start having panic about what people are going to comment, then get off because it's too close to the heart. It becomes a place that you've allowed something to pull you out. And sometimes you just need to talk it out with somebody. Just this last week, I was having a tough time. I called some people. They started praying for me, and we just started talking it out. And I realized, oh my goodness, there it is again. I was getting panicked about some people and just, do they like me? And they might not come back to the church, and it's all my fault, and I didn't do enough, and I didn't say enough, and what is that? It's my need to please them.
And so I went into a dark place on Thursday. Now listen, you should know that if you ever leave, but I'm just kidding. This was the Holy Spirit taking a moment to go, Ryan, my word says that you're supposed to have what you need, and I'm your shepherd. I'm taking you into a place where you will thrive. If you're not there, just maybe, you've allowed yourself to wander. I want to realign your steering so that you can see who I am and what I have for you. Come on, stand with me. The 15 of you that clapped, I'm so proud of you guys. Thank you. It was good. It was really good. I'm just messing. Listen, not for me, like for the Lord and what he's doing. Listen, in conclusion, I think there comes a time in our place where we actually have to repent. The Bible describes repentance as a turning away from. And what I love about the Holy Spirit is that he brings to the surface that which is controlling me, and he identifies it so that I can actually become free. What did the word say? The sinful nature, which is the lust of the eyes and the pride of life and things I need to have, it leads me to death. But the Holy Spirit wants to lead me to a place where I can have peace. So up in that upper room, and just this last week, I had to release that again. That my job is not to make everybody like me and happy. And I picked that up when I was a kid. And I started asking the Holy Spirit with Team Restore. If you don't know, it's a team of people that pray and they listen to the Holy Spirit and help you navigate things. And I was with them on Saturday morning. And they start navigating this, and the Holy Spirit brings up this moment where I picked up the responsibility to make sure that my parents were always okay. And so honestly, what that led me to is a lifestyle of spinning plates. And the moment a plate crashes, you start having anxiety. Or the moment you start seeing it wobble, you start having anxiety because you're at your limit. And the Holy Spirit brought it to my attention again, and I needed to repent from it. I had turned it into an idol that was allowing me to feel incapacitated, and I was becoming anxious, and it was leading to depression. And thank God for my wife. The night Thursday, as I was getting into bed, and she's like, babe, talk to me. And I'm like, I don't want to talk. Isn't that how it is, right? We just want to stay in it. And then I wanted to blame the church. Oh, yeah, well, you know what? They're going to leave too. And then what did it do? It made me actually not even want to be nice. Crawl into my cocoon and start anticipating hurt. That is not the place that God wants you to live. So sometimes it takes an alignment to go, oh, you're my Lord and you are my shepherd. You're actively putting me into places where I'm supposed to thrive and I have all that I need. I'm not experiencing that. That's not because of the devil all the time. That might be I've allowed an idol to pop up. So in this moment, I just want to tell you this. It's so easy. You just repent. You identify that chasing of whatever it is. And then you ask the Holy Spirit, where's the root of that? Maybe you come to the prayer team and you're like, man, I'm struggling. And you begin to pray that thing out and the Holy Spirit gives you a picture. And you're like, man, I'm going after that because I'm not going to live in anxiety and fear and depression any longer. He wants to lead me to a place of fruitfulness. But my journey's not like any of those other nations. Maybe he just wants me live simply. If we just, when the cloud moves, I move and I just stay. I want us as a church in a community to walk in freedom today. So here's what I want to do. However it is that you need to repent, I want you to say it out loud. When the Holy Spirit, the music's going to play and the presence of God is here. And I just want you to just go, Holy Spirit, show me what it is that I keep chasing after. And maybe even say this, show me where it started. And then if you need to forgive whoever, if you realize you picked something up, you need to say, I release that thing. I don't have to own that. That's not me. God, I'm just going to come back to the simple place of just being with you, and you got what I need today. You got a treasure trove of stuff, and if I keep feeling like I don't, maybe it's because I keep looking around and I see other people's stuff, and I'm like, man, why can't I have that? The Holy Spirit is here to bring peace. And so will you just close your eyes with me, and I just want to say something else. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, He is the one that literally comes to embrace us with the love of the Father. He removes every bad thing we've ever done and wipes it clear and says that we are loved and His forever because we put our faith and trust in Him. The Lord is my shepherd. Jesus is my Savior. And so in this moment, if you're here today and you've never asked that, you've never prayed that, all you have to do is say, Jesus, I ask that you would come into my life today. I declare that you are the Lord and you are my King. And I surrender my life to you. And I want to follow you all the days of your life. And there's two things that you need to do. One is you need to let somebody know that you prayed that prayer. And then two, you need to stay in church. Because it's in a community like this that we together grow and flourish and discover the places that God has for us. Everyone else, I want you to just begin to take a moment. And if you need to kneel, if you need to stand, if you need to come forward, this is our moment as a church to begin to repent for the idols that we've brought into our heart that are keeping us from the place of freedom, peace. So Holy Spirit, come.
Be still.
And every moment where He begins to reveal something, you just, that's not me. I let that go.
Be still.
Or why have I been chasing that all my life?
Watches.
Show me who I am in you. The places that you have me to flourish, God. Come on, let's just let the Holy Spirit come. Feel free if you want to come forward, if you want to kneel, if you want to stand. Just let this be a moment where you begin to repent and turn to Jesus.
Be still, my soul. Stand and watch as giants fall. I won't be afraid, for you are here. You silence all my fears. I won't be afraid, you don't let go. Be still my heart and know I won't.